All right, so we'll start from the Mishnah, Pei Ted Amud Bet, at the bottom. Shnei Kitin or Shnei Ketubot. So she pulls it out. She has two gets and two ketubot. Govish Shnei Ketubot, because she'll claim that each ketubah relates to each get, and then she can collect two ketubot. Shnei Ketubot beget echad, right? Or if she has two ketubot and only one get, or ketubah b'shnei Kitin, or she has one ketubah and two Kitin. Or one ketubah and one get, umita eno gove el ketubah achas. Then we assume she only gets, right, one ksuba. Now, what's the reasoning behind this? Because shemegareish tishto v'achzira, someone who divorces his wife and takes her back. I mean, when a person remarries their wife, amanat ketubah rishona machzira. The underlying assumption is that when he takes her back, he takes her back relying on the first ksuba. He doesn't write her a second ksuba. He's relying on the first ksuba. And therefore, when she pulls out two gitin and she only has one ksuba, that's because, why? Because she is relating back or going back to the first ksuba, and therefore we don't entitle her to a second ksuba. Even though in the previous mishnah we said, what if she's motzia get ve'enimo ksuba, then she's entitled to collect. You know, at least according to Shmuel, she's entitled to collect everything. When it's a place, a place that she's in Kotvin, or the Kotvin we went through with Shmuel yesterday, he comes out with both, or according to Rav, he'll get Ikar Ksuba, if he takes out a get without a Ksuba. So now over here, what is she pulling out? She's pulling out two Gitin and one Ksuba. So technically, with one get and one Ksuba, she'd be fine, she'd collect on that. The next situation, right, when she brings out the second get, that should be the equivalent of our Mishnah yesterday. She's pulling out a get with that ksuba, and she'll be able to collect the second ksuba. Whereas the Mishnah says, no, she only collects one ksuba, because what? When he remarried her, al smach, the original ksuba. Right? It's not a new ksuba, it's the original ksuba. Alright. So now let's go to the Gemara.
After he divorced her, before he remarried her, she didn't collect the ksuba?
I'm sorry?
He divorced her. Thing. Before he remarried her, right. She didn't collect her ksuba?
No, obviously, that's why she has a ksuba in her hand.
Okay, and so we assume always when someone remarries, once she was divorced, she could have demanded payment of her
right,
ksuba.
Right, so if we have a second ksuba here, right, then what happens? If you have two ksubas and two gets, then she can collect both. There's nothing to talk about. Problem here is one of the documents is missing. Right, so either we just said if it was two gitin and one ksuba, we say no, because it was almanas. She has two ksubos and one get. We just said in the previous Mishnah, if you only have a ksuba without a get, that doesn't entitle you to collect. That was the previous Mishnah. Right? So there's a chisaron here. You're right. If she has the first line of the Mishnah, she has two gets, two ksubos.
Yeah, I wasn't asking about the din of the Mishnah. I was just asking in terms of how it usually works. Yeah.
No, I mean, the Gemara's going to discuss. There are times when they wrote a second ksuba, but then she's got to bring it. She's got to show up with the second ksuba and the second get. I mean, the fact that she's missing one of the documents, then we're suspicious that something's wrong here. All right. So Ibai, the Mishnah says, Ibai b'hai gavya, Ibai b'hai gavya. If she shows up with two ksubos and one get, she gets to choose which one she collects with, which ksuba she collects with. So Lema, Te'avi, Te'uv, to the Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, there should be a problem. Rav Nachman Shmuel, Damar Rav Nachman Shmuel, Shtei Sharos, Yotzim Zachar Zeh. You have two Sharos. They don't have the same date, right? They have two different dates on them. Bitel sheni et rishon. The second one ruins the first document. So here we're talking about like a loan. A creditor has the same document written about the same issue. And we say we have two documents. We don't say there's two loans here. We say that the second one came to supersede the first one. And what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, it's a very important Rashi. It says, Bitel sheni et rishon, but eno torah fil zman sheni. You can only take or start collecting from the second time, the date on the second one. When he wrote the second ksuba, it was as if he was mochel, the shibut, the lien that he had from the first document, and he re-entered into the second document. It's as if then the second document becomes the real document. It supersedes the first document, and the first document's not meaningful. But over here, we're saying she can collect with one or the other. Either ksuba. The ksubas have to be dated different days, right? He didn't give her two ksubas on the same day, so it's two different days. And yet we're saying what? She can collect with the first ksuba or the second ksuba. That goes against what Rav Nachman says. So Labit Marlo Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa qualify Rav Nachman's statement? Umod Rav Nachman. The Osipe Dikla Lutosefet Katve. So Rav Nachman agrees that if the second document is not identical to the first document, but rather has something added to it, So yes, it supersedes the first document, but it has something to add to it. Then what? Then you can't simply say that what he wrote the second one, and that's just to be mocha on the shibud from the first one. But rather, the second document is a different document. If it's a different document, then what? Then she can collect from either document, but not both. But how does she collect? She'll have a choice, right? When she has that choice, she's either going to have to what? Either collect from the first document with the first shibud, which gives her an advantage from her lien starts earlier, or she'll collect from the second document, which has more in it, but a later lien, right? So she'll have to choose. She can't have the best of both worlds. She has to pick one of those two. But in that case, Rav Nachman will agree that she can make a choice. Because with the Osif, we see that what? That there is a difference in the document. So the difference in the document, then you get to choose between which one you want. So our mission is also talking about when we say she can collect from either ksuba, it's when there was an addition to the second ksuba. All right. Turn rabban. Otiya get the ksuba umita. Right. So now what happens is she pulls out a get, a ksuba, and a demisa. Right. So now she has all the time. Im get kodem the ksuba. If the get precedes the ksuba, then go v'shtek to both. Then she's able to collect two. Why is that? Because if the get related to this ksuba, right, then what? The ksuba should have predated the get. The fact that it postdates the get means that what? Again, he got divorced, they got remarried, and now he's dead. So now she has two ksubot. And we said in the previous Mishnah, get without a ksuba, she's allowed to collect, right, a ksuba for that. But shtek tubot, right, if she has two ksubos, ksuba kodemet leget, eno gova ele ksuba achas. Right, so if she has two ksubos that are dated predate the get, then she can only take one ksuba. Right, we assume that he didn't write her two ksubos for the marriage. That's something very unusual.
Now, according to Rod, in the case in get kodem ksuba govishtek ksubos for she will only be able to take the ikar for
with the get piece. That's correct. Right, that's correct. With Shmuel, will be the whole thing based on the tanaim that he gave yesterday.
Right. Depending if she's able to prove that.
Right, if she has to prove it or if he has to prove it, depending what city, you know, if they give a ksuba, they don't give a ksuba. But yes, right. Right, so if she has two ksubot, one ksuba is before the get, ksuba kodem the get that are both prior to the get, in a gova ksuba achas, then she only gets one ksuba because when someone gets divorced, right, they bring her back based on the original ksuba. So it's not like he wrote her two different ksubos that are that are reshayach to a different marriage, meaning that's it. He wrote two ksubas because one superseded the other. That it's not as if there was two separate, another gerushin we're missing or something in between that we're missing. It's that he went to supersede it. Because if it was true that he would, if it was a separate ksuba, then it should have postdated the get. The fact that it predates the get means that what? That we assume that when he got remarried now, even though he didn't write her a ksuba, right, that nevertheless she's not entitled to ksuba because she's relying on the original ksuba that he gave her. All right. Mishnah, katan shisiu aviv. There's a katan whose father married him off. Ksuba sa kayemet. Then her ksuba is still around. Shamanas ken kaima. Because for this reason, kept her. Kirshiskaira, ishto imo, ksuba kayemet, shamanas ken kaima. So what's the problem? The problem is that when he got married, he was a katan. Katan is not a bar, you know, kinyan. He's not a bar. He doesn't have the ability to maybe possibly consummate the marriage, depending how old he is, and whether to give a ksuba. But he gives her a ksuba. Right, now what happens? So they're living together and then they grow up together. So there reaches a point where their marriage becomes a marriage d'oraisa, right? Where she's really married because he becomes a gadol, or even if she becomes a gadol, possibly if she's a ketana here. And what? Now the ksuba relates to their original marriage. So is that ksuba still extinct here? Meaning does it still enforce? Same thing with the gershin izgayer. He got married to his wife, he gave her ksuba. Right. This is another proof, by the way, that the ksuba is not a religious document. Here's a gerish and his gayer. He has a ksuba with his wife. Right. That it was a transactional document in some ways. Right. What was unique about the possibly the ksuba is what's written in it or how the achrayut worked. That's what we talk about Shimon Shetach. But ksuba seems to be this individual has a ksuba when he was a guy. Right. And then he's nisgayer. I think we discussed that yesterday, just pointing it out. But he's nisgayer. And then he has a ksuba. Is his wife reliant on that original ksuba that she got prior to their converting?
What kind of edim sign a ksuba for a guy?
Well, it's not Jewish. I mean, I'm saying it's not a Jewish document.
It was just a financial commitment.
Exactly.
That
yeah. That's what it sounds like. I mean, I have to assume that. I'm assuming that they're not Jewish aid coming. Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Most much they didn't start ksuba, or they did start a chutz of kedushin after they were married. They obviously.
Uh huh. Oh, now once they convert.
Well,
yeah.
They did it. At that point, they
If the ksubas, if the ksuba before they converted was less than a manor masayim.
Right, then it would have to be upgraded. Yeah. I mean, the assumption here is that it would be a qualified ksuba.
Well, it would be a mono within the
site. Right. Oh, good question. So that's excellent.
So it's 50.
All right, that's a good question. That's what the Gemara says. That's a good question about that. Zamar Avuna lo shana ela mono matayim. The only thing that stays with them is the mono matayim. Well, tosefet ain la, but she does not get the tosefet. Right, so why? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer afil tosefet yesh la. Even the additional magic answer. Meitvei. Chidshu notelet ma shechidshu, right? If they added on a new ksuba, if they wrote a new ksuba after they became a gadol or after they were in his gayer, notelet ma shechidshu, they get what was increased. Chidshu in, lo chidshu lo. That's only if they what? They gave a new ksuba. So it sounds like only if there's a new ksuba written are they entitled to their ksuba or their tosefet, but not if they don't. No, not only do they get the original ksuba, they get the additional amount also. So Mar says, "Halo Tani Hachi." Doesn't say that. That's not what it says in the Mishnah. So Mar says,
"So what is af mashechidshu?" Not on the Mar on the side, but on the Tosef.
Right, Tosefet. Right, the Tosefet.
Right, the
Tosefet. No, chidshu. No, chidshu. It sounds like here the question is right chidshu, right?
Then Tosefet's Rishon.
Right. So that the problem here is for Rav Huna. Yes. Kashan Rav Huna says you only get it's a right. I mean on review.
He's the only one who said no tosefet.
Right.
Says why
you
have to give it to
us. Right. Chidshu no tell chidshu in lo chidshu lo. But that's a question of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says no, you get the tosefet all the time.
Right.
So there it sounds over here. I'm sorry. Here's a question on both. Was it mashechidshu kasalka datcha that mashechidshu amanu matayim?
Right.
And this is the original ksuba. So it sounds like it's a question. It sounds like it's a question on both. Chidshu tell ma shechidshu, chidshu in lo chidshu lo. That only if she gets a new ksuba does the ksuba work at all. Then the Gemara says no. Ema af ma shechidshu. Not only does she get the mana matayim that she belongs to her from the original ksuba, she gets the tosefet. Now that would remain even a question on Rav Yehuda. So mazal tarani chachi chidshu tell ma shechidshu lo chidshu. So this is what it means. If you were machadesh ksuba, then she gets all the new stuff. She gets whatever they added. Lo chidshu b'sula kova matayim elmano elmano. So that's a tiyufta to Rav Yehuda. That's a problem for Rav Yehuda. In the original way, the question is on both of them. It sounds like you get nothing. The original ksuba is worthless. Then the Gemara says, no, don't read it that you only get the extra you get. Right? You get the additional amount when you're mechadish the ksuba. That's a question on Rav Yehuda. That's what the Gemara's problem is now. So Gemara says, no. Masnisin at A. The Mishnah made Rabbi Yehuda make this mistake. When it says Q's Kuma Kamemet, that means on everything. Velohi, that's not true. Our Mishnah is only talking about what? The Mana Masayim. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't work out, because he's not supposed to work out. He made a mistake in understanding the Mishnah. And the way to understand the Mishnah is what? The Ksuba, when you say that Ksuba is still in force, that means Mana Matayim is still in force. About Tosefet Ksuba, that only works if you're Mechadesh, the Ksuba.
And if the Ksuba were not in force, would she still be entitled to Manar Masayim?
What?
If the Ksuba were not still in force, if they're married, she's still entitled to Manar Masayim based on Das Bezdin?
Right, it's my Bezdin, she'll be entitled to it. Yeah, right, yes.
So what's...
It helps Rabbi Meir, who says you can't live without a Ksuba. And you'll see here, Tosas has an interesting point here. I'll just do it because you have to ask the question. Tosas says, "Vim tomar tap tosas imkain my kamash malon mas nisan shaman ask king kaima." Exactly your question, right? Lo kasa lo miolam yesh la ksuba. If he doesn't write a ksuba, she gets mana masayim. So what do we care that the base? What do we care that the ksuba is enforced? Exactly, right? This is your question, Shaul. So this is the answer, and this is what Yitz was saying, which was he right by accident he said this, and that's what Tosas says is not right, which is what. Right? So one thing that it'll help with her, alright, let's go. If he married her when she was a b'sula, because now, when they convert, or they're now gedolim, she's a b'ula. So if it was just the t'nai based in, right, she would only be entitled to a Mana. What is the ksuba being enforced? What does that help her? That gets her to retain her status as a ksuba. That's it. That means amanas, what? When he keeps her of this, is amanas that she was a psula. When he married her, she was a psula, and that's what he's keeping her at. So that's answer both of your points here. That's an interesting point, right? What's the difference between the Tanai based and this? Right. Next perk. Mishaya nosu ishtei noshim umesa rishono kodemes. Umes. He died. Mesa Rishona. The first wife dies. Kodemes Lishnia, before the second wife. Yorshe Rishona Kodlim Neroshea Rishnia. Then the inheritors of the first wife, right, come before the Yorshim of the second one. Nosa to Rishona Umesa. He marries the first one, Umesa, and then she dies. Nosa Shnia Umes. And then he marries the second wife, and then he dies. Umes who? Shnia Yorshea Kodmin Yorshea Rishona. Second wife and her Yorshim come before the first wife.
At the beginning of the Mishnah, doesn't it have to be he dies? Those who would say Mesa.
Mesa,
yeah. He's already dead. He's dead already.
He dies. Rishon 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 Rishon
He has two wives. He dies, and then the
Rishon Kedemus Lishnia.
Because the two wives collect.
Right. Whoever he married first.
First has the lien, the first lien on the property. Right. Exactly. So that's the question at hand is what we know that if the woman predeceases the husband inherits her. Right. All right. So when do the women have a chov on their husband? That's when the husband predeceases them. Right. So in the first case where he predeceases both of them, they both now have a chov to collect, and now we're in a regular creditor situation. Regular creditor situation. Who comes first? The first ksuba comes before the second ksuba because she's got the earlier lien on the property. So if there's only enough property to fulfill one ksuba, she gets to collect, but the Rishona comes before the second one. She gets to collect first. Now, the second case is much more complicated, right? The first wife predeceased her husband, so she's entitled to nothing except a chov. Right, then... So ksuba's a bit different, but that's a different... That's not a chov,
right.
That's Yerusha. Right, but then the second wife now is still alive when he passed away. He predeceased his wife, the second wife. Now she's coming to collect as a creditor. So that's what the Mishnah says. She has precedence, the second wife, because she's coming as a creditor for her ksuba, and the first wife is only coming as a, or her children are only coming as yorshim. So she has precedence over the yorshim, because chov comes prior to yerusha. Okay, that's what the Mishnah said simply.
When is the yorshim the first one coming to collect?
Ksuba's been in dechren. Her
part of the ksuba.
Her part of ksuba out of the yerusha, right, that we give, that's the... Ksuba's benin dechren is that the when he has Yerusha that exceeds the value of both ksubos, right? That the second the Yorshim get to collect their mother's ksuba first when they're dividing before they divide the property evenly. That's it. That was what ksuba's benin dechren means. That
she died first.
It's only when she dies first doesn't matter, right? When she dies first, that the Yorshim are still entitled to collect. That's what ksuba benin dechren was. That way the father would still give more money because he knew it would end up with his kids, not with other people's kids. Mm-hmm. So that her chelik of the ksuba will end up with her kids, and then they will divide the property evenly in the excess over the other ksuba, of the total ksuba. Only if there is an excess, right? That's what we're going to deal with today. Both those issues are today. All right, so when it says, "Ktani harishona kodemet l'shtia," but look, "Ktani harishona yeshla v'ashnia einla." Right, the Mishnah says what? That the first one comes before the second one, but not the first one gets, the second one does not get, even though there's only enough to fulfill one ksuba. What do we learn from this? The second one came and grabbed the property prior to the first one. We don't take it away from her. So that if a later lien on a property comes and the guy comes and grabs it, he gets to keep it. You can't undo it from him. So Gemara says, I'm going to get back to that because it seems like such a strange concept. Olam emelecha moshe gava lo gava. No, really, if she grabbed it first, that doesn't work, right? And she has to give it back to the furnace. So my kodemet, kodemet legamre, right?
What does that mean? I mean, what does kodemet first mean?
All right, so we're going to get to that. I said we'll discuss why. It doesn't seem to be logical that the second lien can come and grab stuff before the first lien. That's the whole point of having a lien.
It doesn't work. Kodemet.
Right. Oh, kodemet. Yeah. Well, the gemara is medayik. Tosis is going to spend, I'm not going to get into it, Tosis spends a lot of time, the Gemara here is medayik from the Mishnah a number of times here with Lashonos, and Tosis, you'll see, there's one here and there's three more small Tosis on the second Amud, and he keeps asking them, well, why were they medayik this way, and why did they not medayik this way, why did they pick this Lashon and not this Lashon? Right, it seems that the Gemara sometimes is after something, and they pick a Lashon, they'll be medayik, and other times they'll ignore the Lashon. Tosis Tosfos is jumping. Why do they? Why this way? Why not? Wait. It's just I'm not going to get. It's you know. It's just a textual play. But the Gemara assumed that they could be medayik here. Let's just assume that. Now we'll deal with the logic of it, which I think is even much more problematic than Loshon. Is why the whole point of having a lien is that your lien predates the other lien, so that's why you're protected.
Like, yeah, the first position, the second position.
Right. So why can the second person come and grab it for you? So that's why I do Tosfos spends a very interesting Tosfos. I think last Shabbos, people or two Shabbos ago, people were asking that in the daf. How could it be that here a woman who has a ksuba and you have a bal chov, and one of them predates the other, and then someone comes in tapsa, it was last Shabbos, right? Rabbi Akiva and, bananas, I think, right? And the Mishnah, arguing about either the koshel shebehen, or it was Rabbi Tarfa, right? Rabbi Tarfa. Koshel shebehen, or do we say, yikov adin etahar? Right? So people were asking, what do you mean? Well, what does it mean a koshel shebehen? There's a lien, that's the whole point of a lien, is to protect. Right, so this is it's an important tosis. So we'll just finish up the Gemara here quickly. Kodemet, like you're saying, Shaul. Kodemet means totally. Yossi, you're saying that kodemet means totally beforehand, Tani. Right? But it's not. Ben kodem lebat. We find this lashon in other places of the Mishnayos. The son becomes before the daughter. What do you mean? Oh, if the daughter grabs it, then it's going to work? No. It means ben kodem lebat. It means no matter what. In Yerusha, the son comes first, and there's no bat that's not relevant here. That the fact that the Mishnah didn't explicitly say that, then Michlal di kadma shniyav tafsa mavginin mina will take it away from her. Shma mina balchov meuchar shekadam v'gava mashagava lo gava. So we prove from here the opposite, exact opposite, right? Yes, this goes to your point. That it's just the opposite. I mean that the lashon is not so mukhrat. So the Gemara is just trying to be medayik by the choser lashon here. What's really happening? What's the Mishnah have there? Right. No. I did tani shnia v'yorshia kodmin liyorshia v'shonu. There, in the second half of the Mishnah, it says kodmin. So over here, tana, because there is Yerusha left over for the first one, possibly. Therefore, there's a reason to use the word kodemet. Therefore, what? Tana nami v'shonu kodemet lishnia. So in the first case, even though it's not the lashon of kodemet, it's not the right lashon to use, nevertheless, it's used because there's only one, there's only enough property for one of them in the first case. So kodemet means she gets everything. And that's what kodemet means. It's they used it in the safe, they used it in the ratio. All right, just quickly on Sadiyam and Aleph, the Tosfos here. Tosfos deals with two issues. I'll deal with the first one inside because it's worth seeing, and then I'll deal with the second one outside, which is mentioned. So it says, right, he says, Tema masvara hizu. What type of logic is this that the, I'm sorry, it's Shmamina, Tosfos Shmamina and Sadiyam and Aleph. What type of logic is this that the creditor who has a prior lien gets knocked out here by Tufsa? Because what type of svara is this? Balchov will be no better than a buyer. Right? Who are they taking it out? These are properties at the Meshavdeh. Right? And he can go ahead and what? Take it out. And take it out for them. So where does he lose his power? That the fact is that what? Right, by Chov Rishon that he can't go. He's able to go with his lien and take out from Kuchim from prior to the second lien. Yet, we say with Tufsa, if they come and grab it, then it's their property. What does that mean?
Lokech is key like the Tufsa. He's got it.
Right.
He's right. And yet we see that he can take it away from him. That's the definition.
Well, that's not. But he should be just like a buyer. Right. That he's able to go and take it from a lokeach. Right. So then, why should the Baal Chov Sheni? Now, listen to this. What if the Baal Chov Rishon goes and takes it away from a lokeach? So then, what does the Baal Chov Rishon become? He becomes like a lokeach now. Then the Baal Chov Sheni comes and says, "I want to take the property." He goes, "Well, your shtar postdates my lokicha. I bought it prior to your, right? Because my lien entitles me to get this property. I bought it prior to your lien. You have no rights to this property." All of a sudden he comes and tufsa and all of a sudden he has entitlement. Why? I mean, that makes no sense. Terence Rashbam. So this is interesting. The Baal Chov Me'uchar Odif Melokeach. A Baal Chov who has a lien after the Baal Chov Rishon is better than a Lokeach. Shelo Tin Ol Delet Bifnei Lavin. That's an amazing statement. So it says that this takana or this ability to be tufsa is to keep liquidity in the what? In the debt markets. V'chein l'ktubas isha mishum chinah. And when we're dealing with l'ktubas isha, because of chein. These are our special situations where the banan felt, what? That it was important, right? Give him a right, even though they're not entitled to it, min adin. V'chein teima ish mash gava gava ika nelas delas b'bal chova rishon. So what? Okay, so what do you fix the fact that what? The credit markets will stay open because what? When there's property, he's able to go take his lien and grab, even predating his lien, he's able to grab stuff that belonged to the first creditor. But now what do you do? Now you've ruined the rights of the first creditor. So how have you improved, from the perspective of one lender, you've helped it out. But from the perspective of the entire credit markets, you're no better off. One creditor is still out there money. So listen to this. Lo yi ho v'yochol likdom lo yim nemel hovos. The first guy has the same right. He could go be toe-faced first. So the fact is, when he lands, right, he says, one, if when I land, I have, first of all, my lien. Number two, is even if someone else comes and borrows, there's only a little property, I can go grab that property.
Right.
So smach zeh, he's going to land, thinking that, you know, that's how it works, you know, the psychology of it. Like, you buy the lottery ticket, I'm always the one who's going to win in the lottery ticket, right? Even though, right, the chances are not there. The person always assumes that they will succeed at what they need to do here. So when he lands, the assumption is, well, I have the previous lien, plus, if it comes down to a competitive situation, I'll grab the property. So he won't hold back from lending in that situation. Right, if there's a possibility that you will not get anything at all, right, then he's going to be totally wiped out. So if you have no opportunity to collect, then the credit markets will shut down. If there is a possibility that you will collect, then your assumption is, I will be the one that collects in this case.
I wouldn't say that the credit markets would shut down. People wouldn't lend to somebody that already has shibud on their properties.
No.
But if there's no one that has shibud already, why wouldn't they lend?
The creditors will have more creditors. That's the whole point. If successive creditors ruin his position, then he won't lend because he'll say, oh my gosh.
I won't want to be the first lender.
In the future.
Right. This is a... That's an issue. I mean, it's an issue today. What's called debt indentures. Today, debt indentures work, which is, how does your lien work? Right? Can you take out what's called something called pari passu? Can you take out debt that have the same level of lien as that you do? Or is your credit a first lien or first mortgage? Right? And that's exactly what's going on here, right? If you say that the second Baal Chol, the second creditor, can come along and what? Almost become pari passu, which means, right, equal. He's on equal footing, in some senses, to you, right? Then you as a creditor are going to worry about lending, which is what happens today. If you can't, sometimes, I mean, if the creditworthiness, like you're saying, if the creditworthiness is so good, nobody cares. But the point is that if you allow for there to be equal footing, then the first lender is going to have to really think about lending. If you say he has a first lien, a first mortgage that has some sort of rights that exceed the rights of the second one, then he's going to feel like, what? Okay, I'm protected, and therefore when people come after me, I have precedence. That's what Tos is talking about. That's the thing. As long as his precedence gives him some ability to collect first and at least be equal to and better than, which is what he has here. He's equal to in the sense that he can go and grab it, and number two, he's better because his lien precedes the other guy's lien, then he's willing to lend because he doesn't feel like he's ruined or encumbered by the second loan coming in.
But that's why the second guy, if he's toe-faced, so you give him the right to do something aggressively, so he'll say, oh, look, you know what, I won't take a chance on it because I'll be more aggressive, I'll be sharper,
smarter.
That's the logic.
That's the psychology.
Overall, he's with the market stable because I'll end.
That's what Tos says, the difference in the svara, why it's okay renewing the rights of the first one. Right.
And if the second guy grabs it, then the first guy grabs it back from him.
Right. You can't take it. He doesn't have a right anymore to be mafkia. I mean, from the second bachol.
Unless he has a halachic right to be toe-faced.
Right. Well, then he has to come to din. Right. But the point is here is that the din doesn't work here.
Right.
Even though he has a din.
Is there any
you can say to the second guy, you're like a little cat.
Is there any
should he be doing this? Right. Right. So maybe not. Maybe mikra din. It may not be the best thing.
The second guy grabs it first. Right, and the first guy can say to me, you're like a low cash, and my lien predates your low cash.
Right, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of Tafsa. Exactly. The whole point of Tafsa is Gova, that he keeps it. That's the whole point. Otherwise, it wouldn't be meaningful. Otherwise, you could always go back to base.
But why is his toe face any more meaningful than a subsequent toe face?
No, because the low cash. That's what he's saying.
Our starting premise is that
a toe face is equal to low cash.
Is when a Baal Chov is Gova, he's like a lokeach.
That's what Tosafot said. Tosafot rejects that and says he's better than a lokeach. That's exactly what he said. That's his answer. That a toface is better than a lokeach. And that's his answer. His answer is exactly that. That toface is better than a lokeach, and therefore he can't get it back out. That was his first question is, it shouldn't work. Because if he's just like a lokeach, then he can come and grab it back. Because he has a lien, and he can take it back. His answer is that toface is better than a lokeach.
Exactly.
That's his whole point. That's the whole zera. The whole thing.
Tosafot's question was then, how can he do it? He says he could do it, but then he's only lokeach.
Right. And then
it's
far.
But he should be like, okay.
Right. You're asking me, Mimidas Chassidus is a great toe-face, or Rooney. Right. So that's a question, I don't have an answer, but there would be a question of how great your rates are here. I mean, he's going to lose out, right? He's about to be Mafsid Momon here. So the question is, if the din allows you to grab here, does that entitlement mean that you're no longer, there's a Mimidas Chassidus not to lose money, or you really know that the other guy's din is before you, is there some sort of menschlichkeit to grab it, give it to him before you take yourself? I don't know. That's a good question. We have it in other places that in halacha that we discuss that there is a din of lufnim mishuras a din to act in a different way, even though when you're not chayiv to, that you should act in that way. All right, I won't deal with it. The second part of Tosfos deals with what the psak halacha is. When do we say misha gava gava? Does it only work by metalkalin, or does it also work by karkos? And how does our gemara here square away with other gemaras about gova? It's a very interesting, the second half, if you have time to look through it, it's a very interesting Tosfos here about when do we say gova is misha gava gava? Does that apply to karkos, or does it only apply to metalkalin? And, you know, how does that interplay with other mishnayos or other places in Shas? All right, right there. Shema mina talad. From our mission, you can conclude three things. Shema mina, achat b'chayev v'achat b'moto, yesh lan ketubas b'din dichren. If one dies prior to him, when one predeceases, one woman predeceases him, one is after him, that the ketubas b'din dichren is still in effect. I mean, even though you would have thought, what? The ketubas b'din dichren only applies when both women died before him, and what? You have two sets of yorshim coming, what? To claim a ketubas b'din dichren. But here, you have one set of yorshim that are coming mikar din. They're entitled to ksuba mitzad a creditor. Right? The other ones now are coming mitzad yorshim. So you would think ksuba din nichren doesn't apply in that case. Why? Because it's almost creating an uneven footing. Because one of them is coming as creditor, one's coming as a yorish. So that's the first thing you see from a mishnah, what? That one, even if there's only one of them coming as a ksuba din nichren, that's still in force. Below chayshin and the intsuya, we don't worry about fighting here. Mimai, how do you know this? So it is, Miktani Shnia B'Yorsha Kodmin L'Yorsha Rishona. Right? That our Mishnah said what? That the second Yorshim precede the first Yorshim, which means what? That the second first Yorshim do have some entitlement. What's their entitlement? Right? Miktam Hudikadmi Ha'iko. Right? Shakli. If there's enough to go around for both of them, then they do get to collect. They do get to collect. What are they collecting? They don't have any rights mitzad ksuba. They only have rights mitzad ksuba spinin dichrin. So that must be what it is. Shema mina ksuba nasis moto the chaverta. Right. So this is what Yitz was mentioning, that you only have a ksuba spinin dichrin when what? There's enough yerusha that there'll be a yerusha deoraisa. So that's what we said. The Gemara earlier talked about. The Mishnah earlier said there has to be a moser dinar. As long as there's one dinar in excess of both ksubos, we say each one gets their ksuba spinin dichrin, and the moser dinar does the yerusha deoraisa to split between them. So now over here, what happens if you have the exact amount of the what? The ksuba d'oraisa and the ksuba b'din dechren. So is the fact that what? That they paid the ksubas isha, they paid out the ksubas isha, is that considered a motar? Because what? The ksuba really is coming as a creditor. Ksuba is coming as a creditor. So a creditor, what, obligates the yorshim, both the yisomim, to pay out. That means they were yorish the money. And then they paid out to a creditor. Who was that creditor? It was the ksuba of the second woman, right? The second woman who died after her husband. So they were yoresh. They were mekayim yerusha doraisa, which is that they got their money. Then they paid it out to the creditors. So now when they come and there's a ksuba b'din dichrin for the first, that payout from the first one is enough to have been sufficed to take care of the ksuba, the yerusha doraisa, and now they can collect their ksuba b'din dichrin from what's left over. It's interesting, right? It's an interesting way of viewing what's that moser d'oraisa. So that's we assume that's the case. Mimai, nitzolotanim yesham moter dinar. The Mishnah never qualifies that it has to be a moter dinar. All the Mishnah says is what? You have two ksubas, enough for both of them, right? Shramina ksubas bin nichrin lotar from mishabde. The next thing is what? That a ksubas bin nichrin does not get taken out of encumbered property. If it can be taken out of encumbered property, right, or a property, I'm sorry, that has a lien, let's b'nei rishona, the tarfinu b'nei shnia. Whose ksuba came first? The b'nei rishona. So if they're both creditors of the estate, then the first creditor should have rights before the second creditors. The fact that we're saying that the ksuba shnia is, what, the one who died after is a creditor, and the first are only subsequent after them, that proves that what? There are yarte, that they are Yerush Yorshim, but no Yatve, and not lenders. Okay. Matzkel of Rav Ashi, we had just as a side, but that was the Gemara earlier discussed that. What's the Lashon of Ksubas B'din Dechman? Is it Yarte Tnan or Yatve Tnan, right? That is it that they are Yorish or they are lenders? So that the Gemara concluded it was Yarte, and here the Gemara says the Mishnah shows that they are Yorshim, not lenders.
This really should have been before the second question. The second question is assuming already that they're Yorshim and not. Because if they assumed that it was returning the chov, then they would have said that they themselves should have been Yorish, right. And they could have fulfilled the Dino Doraisa.
Right, no, because their Yerusha is not Yerusha Doraisa. Yerusha Doraisa is everybody splits equally. So that's why it can't work. No, because that's the whole point. Ksubas Din Rechen is ruining Yerusha Doraisa, because it's not splitting it evenly among the sons. It's giving it to one set of sons. So that's the whole problem.
Let's say it's Yerusha, then they split it out.
Right, well, then it's not. Then they're not coming with Ksubas Din Rechen. All right. Maskel of Ravashim, you might. Maybe it's not like that. Mimai kodmin l'nachla k'tani. What does it mean, kodmin? They're kodmin to nachla. So it says, right, so if they, what does it mean that they're kodmin l'nachla? Right, k'tani, v'chitema yorshe rishona lomali. Right, so then what about, what are the yorshe rishona doing here? Adi tani shniya v'yorshe tani nam l'yorshe harishona. Right, so that's the, what's the kodmin over here has to do with what? Not with ksubas benin dichrin, but rather has to do with what? Nachla. That they were coming before for their nachla. So what does that mean? What does it mean that they're coming to nachla? Right, not that the, meaning that if they, if the ksuba is a creditor, a balchov, the yorshim are what? Are all yorshim. Right, so they, the creditor gets to collect first,
that's
and whatever's right, that's the second one. Whatever's left over is lanachla, and then they'll split between them. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then what do we care about the Yorshe Rishona? Right, what did the Yorshe Rishona have anything to do with it here? Right, what does it say that they're kodemet the Yorshe Rishona?
Why is it referred to them as Yorshe Rishona?
Right, meaning that why is that relevant at all? Because they're all Yorshim, and then you're splitting it evenly between them. So why is the fact that they're Yorshe Rishona versus Yorshe Shnia have any relevance once you paid out the ksuba? But Gamarat Ksuba, okay, so that's the Gemara rejected that. The Gemara said tried to reject the fact that what? When you have two ksubas, one before and after his death, that a ksuba doesn't work. They said, we can prove it from the Lashon. Why? Because it says, when it says, right, because it says, what? That kodmin means kodlim lanachla, right? That they get to inherit, meaning that the ksuba gets paid out before the Arusha is spread out. So the Gemara says, well, you can't say that because then you have a lashon in the Mishnah which says Yorshe Rishona. Why would they be referred to as a Yorshe Rishona if they are Yorshim in general? In fact, that the Yorshe Rishona, what's relevant to the Rishona? It's different. So that can't be. Ukta Amar, now the Gemara is going to the second Shemamina. Tomar Shetuba Nase Motor Lechaverta, that a Ksuba can be a leftover enough to create Yerusha Del Raisa in order to give a Ksuba Sdenechrin. Dim Molam Lechain Ksuba Nase Motor Lechaverta. Our case here is where there is an extra dinar. There's an excess of the two ksubos. V'achas. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. It rejects it. So Gemara says v'achas b'chaya v'achas b'moto. It's nahi. That when that case of one and alive, one not, right? That is a machlokas tanaim. The Tanya, we have a brisa. Mesu achat b'chaya v'achas b'moto. Right, again, one before, one after. Benana sumer yecholim b'nei rishon lomar l'bnei ashniya. B'nei balas chov atem, sluku tubas imchem. You guys are creditors. Take your mother's ksuba. B'tzu, and then get out of here. Rabbi Akiva Omer, kfar kvatsa nachlam lifnei b'nei arishonim, and nachlam lifnei b'nei shnia. The nachlam went from the first and dropped to the first and went to the second. My love, b'haka miflige. This is what they're arguing about. All right, so the Gemara now is going to spend time trying to explain this machlokas and see how it fits back into our mission. What's their mission? The Marsavar Achas Bechayev Achas Moto Yeshlem Ksubas Benin Dechrin. They get a Ksubas Benin. Marsavar Achas Bechayev Achas Moto Einlem Ksubas Benin Dechrin. So what that is the machlokas here. What? When Ben Nanas comes along and says what? That is, that Tlu Ksubas Imchem. Take the Ksuba of your mother. You're a creditor. And then Tzu, get out of here because we're going to collect our Ksubas Benin Dechrin. And there's nothing left over for you guys. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that the Nachla, Kfar Nachla, Lifnei Ashniya. I mean, that they're on equal footing. We're talking about Nachla here. If we're talking about Nachla, everybody's on equal footing. So Amar Rabba, or I mean, they get their Ksuba as creditors, and then the rest is Nachla, that they're on equal footing. There's no Ksuba's Benin Dechrin anymore. So Amar Rabba, Ashkinu, the Rabbanah, the Bei Rav, the Yathbika Amri. I saw the Rabbanah, the Bei Rav, that were sitting and saying, the Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Achas Bechayav, Achas Moto, Yishlem Ksuba's Benin Dechrin. Everybody agrees to that. What is the machlokas between Ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva? They're arguing about whether a ksuba is enough to become the motar, right, to allow you to have a ksuba's benin dechrin. Who had in the balchov? And that would be the same thing as a balchov in general. Is any creditor, if you have any creditor, when you pay out the creditor, is that the equivalent of a Yerusha falling before all the Yorshim, and all the Yorshim are paying out the creditor? By paying out the creditor, they already had Yerusha Del Raisa, and therefore they can activate Ksubas benin dechrin. All right, so come if like it. So Mar Saver Ksuba Nase Mosul Chaverta Buhadin the Balchov. Or Mar Saver Ain Ksuba Nase Mosul Chaverta Buhadin the Balchov. That's Machlokes between Ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva, right? Ben Nanas is saying that it works, and therefore over here the Bnei Rishona can come and make their claim of Ksubas benin dechrin.
Rabbi Akiva says the claimant of the first Ksuba is like to a Balchov.
Right, or they're equal. The Balchov or they're equal.
Right.
Both of them have the same status, which is that they are Yoresh. Midoraisa. Now they're paying out. That's a chov incumbent on all the yorshim.
Right, and the payment of the ksuba, period. Yes. Is like the payment of a bal chov.
Yeah, exactly. Now you could have suggested otherwise, which right that what that the ksuba of the shnia when they come and collect the yorshim are the creditors. So they're not really, they really weren't yorish. Wasn't that all the yorshim were yorish, and then they paid out the creditors? It's rather that what? They came as creditors and took right away. They didn't pay themselves. Right? So that's what you could claim is they're not, right? That's the side that says it's not a leftovers. All right. So Yvamin Luhu, and I said to them, Ana b'balchov, kli amalo pligi dabi motor. Everybody agrees by a balchov, what? That it's motor. Ki pligi biksuba. They argue about a ksuba, and that's exactly the point. By Baal Chov, you have a third party here. So all the yorshim are yorish, and then together they're paying out the creditor. But ksuba, that's not necessarily true. There is no third party. They are relevant parties to the collection and to the giving out. And they could just say, we're coming as creditors, we never came as yorshim. And we only collected as a creditor, and it never went to the yorshim at all. So that's the argument here. So Matzkel of Yosef, Ihochi, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kfar Kafza Nachla, what does that mean that already the Nachla went? Im Yesh Motar Dinar Mibayile. Rabbi Akiva should have qualified his statement. He shouldn't just say it's all equal, and they're equal no matter what. They're not equal no matter what. They're only equal when there's only enough for the two ksubos. But what? If there's a Motar Dinar, it's an excess of the two ksubos, then what? Then Rabbi Akiva would even agree that you do have ksubos been in different. So how come he didn't qualify his statement that way? El Amar Rabbi Yosef. We're back to the original assumption that they're arguing in this position, whether it's ksuba's been in dechren when one dies predeceases him and one is he predeceases her. Right? This machlokus tonight is similar to another machlokus tonight that we have, the Tanya. Nasa Rishonu Meita. He married his first wife, passed away. Nasa Teshnio Mesu. And then he dies. Ba'in Banesh Zula Acha Misa Venotling Ksuba Siman. These children come and collect their ksuba. The second wife's children come and collect their ksuba. Iman, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Yesh Motar Dinu, Eino Notlim Ksuba Siman, Ve'elo Notlim Ksuba Siman. If there's a Motar Dinar, then Ksuba's Tvin and Dechrim's in effect, and each one gets their mother's ksuba. The second one has Balei Chov, the first one has Ksuba's Tvin and Dechrim. Vim Lav, if there's no Motar Dinar, Chokin Beshoveh, then they, what, split it equally, because why? There's no Yerusha Doraisa. If there's no Yerusha Doraisa, then the yorshin of the second wife come as creditors, collect their mother's ksuba, and whatever's left over, they split evenly. They split evenly between them. My love, what is the machlokas here between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama? The Mar Savar Achas Bechayev Achas Bemoto Yesh Lam Ksubas Benin Dechren. Mar Savar Achas Bechayev Achas Bemoto Ein Lam Ksubim Dinich Dechren. Right, that's exactly their machlokas. Does it apply or not? Do you have an application of Ksubas Benin Dechren? Somebody says, no. And everybody agrees it is. They're arguing about whether what is the amount, or what do you have to have left over? Does it have to be karka, or can it be even metaltalin? One of them says, even from metaltalin, it's enough to have a motor dina. Yerusha Dorais is even applicable by metaltalin, right? So Mar says, can you really say this? Because who's the one who's going to say that it works even by metaltalin? That's going to be Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's the makel over here. Vatnan, we have a Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Even if you have what? Property that doesn't have, achrayus means metaltalin. Einan klum. They're meaningless. Right, so you see, Rabbi Shimon holds what? That the excess that it creates a Yerusha Deraisa has to be what? Has to be Mikarko. So how could Rabbi Shimon, who is the Makil in the Mishnah, and you're trying to suggest that the Machlokas here is all about what? Whether it has to be from Karko or Metalklin. Rabbi Shimon's going to say Metalklin's okay. We know that Rabbi Shimon says Metalklin is not okay. So that you cannot set up the Mishnah that way.